Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm your host, Erica.
And I'm Ziva.
And today's recap we're doing is The Publicity Agent, which aired May 12, 1952. Directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll, and was filmed April 4th, 1952. The synopsis is, to get Ricky's name in the papers, Lucy poses as the Maharinsis of Franistan, as one does.
Of course.
Ricky Ricardo's number one fan. And, you know, with that synopsis alone, it should tell you where this is going. So let's just get right into it. And, you know, Kenny Morgan, the publicity agent of the title, he's not a character in the script, but he did appear in Men Are Messy in episode 8. That feels like so long ago. It feels like literally last year. And Morgan used his own name on camera. It was actually the Arnaz publicity agent in real life. And he married Lucy's cousin, Cleo, in real life. So that's kind of cool.
He got an in into the family.
Yeah. Before we even get into it, do you have a word to describe this episode? Because I do. Or like a
What's
phrase.
What's your word? What's
cringe. Cringe. The whole thing was cringe.
I love this episode. Okay, but I forgot how much I didn't love the ending of the episode, which we'll discuss.
Yeah.
I guess what I love is when she's pretending to be a Maharinsis. And that's about it. So I guess I don't love the episode as much as I thought I did.
But no, it's a very weird
episode. I do like that part.
Okay, so
it's a weird episode. It starts with Ricky playing solitaire. And I love how I was watching that and I was like, you know, nowadays, a boring evening at home is just like the two of you chilling on a couch on your phone. Maybe you're playing solitaire on your phone. But you're not, you know. And she'd obviously just come in from doing dishes because he doesn't do that with her.
She talks about how she does so many dishes for two people. And I feel that pain because it's literally just myself and my husband. And I feel like I'm constantly doing dishes for, like, we have 40 guests over. And I'm wondering, where are all these coming from? And I do them daily. So it's just, it's funny how that does happen. I got to get paper plates. Anyway.
No. But so he's in a foul mood. It's called solitaire.
Hence the name
solitaire. Anyways, before we get to that, they talk about Twiddlywinks. Right?
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. Have you ever played Twiddlywinks?
I most definitely have not played that game. It's shocking to no one.
It's a game on a felt mat with small discs. Those are called the winks. They're like little discs. And then there's a target. Basically, you have to like use this. I don't even know what it's called. It's this thing to like propel the winks into the air, into the basketball on a felt mat. Mini basketball, maybe. No, I feel like it could be fun. Maybe it's like beer pong. Does it sound like beer pong?
No, I'm going to age myself for a minute. But did you ever play with Pogs? P-O-G-S. No.
Nope.
Pogs are like these little discs. They're made of cardboard, and they always had some sort of like character. I'm really aging myself. Well, I had them a lot because my mom used to work in a place that made them. Now, and so you'd have like somebody out there knows what Pogs is. Please write it in and tell me. Yes, you're not the only old lady here.
Crazy Bones. Those were my time.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. See, so people have the weird things.
Do you think this game still exist? Is there a modern version of it, or is this like seriously a classic? Because you know how Monopoly's gone through the stages, and
you can buy so much of it. It does say Twiddlywinks versus Pogs. The first thing that when I like looked up Twiddlywinks,
I'm that crazy. I'm just old.
I'm not crazy. I'm just old. That's great. It looks like it may have,
okay.
Like, it looks like all I can find is, like the old retro games. So
interesting. Yeah. So he's playing that and she's, you know, she could tell that he's just in really, like you said,
foul. Never mind. You can buy it on Amazon. So sorry.
Nice
to interrupt you.
And
we'll play that live
when we're drinking.
Yeah. Drinking and playing Twiddlywinks.
My Pogs.
All right. So
Yeah, he's in a bed. But now here is where it escalates from 0 to 1,000. And I know just by your expression where I'm going with this, like, she's like, damn, someone's in a bad mood, you know, and why don't you get a gun and shoot yourself? Like,
as bad as that. No, I don't know that I would ever say that.
No, I would think never I would think say it that. Though. But
if
someone it went from like... 0 to 1,000. Now, if he was like depressing, I don't like life. This is over for me. He's just being wanted to be left alone. And she immediately goes to take her.
Well, so I feel like that's the only time that it might possibly be able to be funny is like when it isn't applicable serious to the situation, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like this, because if he was really depressed,
you wouldn't say
and
that
she was
either.
Like, let me give you a gun so you can shoot yourself. Like that would be, you know,
I'm just trying to get into the mind of the person.
Back to the George Reeves, right?
Who wrote this. Yeah.
He's going across and he's going to shoot himself now. Oh, he shot himself. Just bring it back to George Reeves.
Because it doesn't make, I mean, as an outsider,
it's not something you would say.
It's not something you would say. It's not normal. It doesn't sound like normal conversation to have. I mean, he just wants to play cards and you go from, well, let me get you a gun and you can end your life. That's not funny, but it's just the way that it was written in there so randomly. I'm sure there's a million other phrases that could have been used in that script, but it's just interesting how it escalated so quickly. Now, I also wrote here, did you notice? Now, season one, of course, is a big change from season six, Lucy. There's just two different Lucy's characters, I think. But did you notice that her voice is a little deeper, maybe stronger here? Because like from episode one to like, let's say 15, she's got very high pitched, kind of squeaky, kind of cutesy, you know, I don't know. Maybe that was just a.
I do like that because I noticed that as well. I like that she, I don't know, bringing it down an octave. I don't know.
Maybe she's just feel more like comfortable. That's enough more, of trying to keep that high. It's exhausting to try to keep that high.
And it
high
almost
tone.
Doesn't fit her character. Like I guess I'm more used to the low register. So
yeah,
I like it a little bit better. Anywho, he basically is like, listen, I'm sorry. I'm in a bad mood. I'm just down about my.
His career.
My career. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting publicity. And he's like, you know, why do I even bother paying someone $50 an hour or a day for any day? Well, it's $50 a day.
Yeah.
Is that what he said? Mm-hmm. That's a lot. But $50 a day for publicity if they can't even get my name in the paper. And of course, you can see like Lucy's eyes start to bulge, right? When she gets an idea.
Oh, yes. Immediately.
And she's like, listen. Would you pay anyone $50?
Well, what I love is that she's like, because he thinks no one cares. No one is interested. And she's like,
so oh, yes, somebody yes, did ask funny.
To ask how you were feeling.
The milkman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I know I'm jumping ahead here, but we talk about the milkman and we see Mr.
Oh, yes. Mr. Foster.
You know who I'm talking about. Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Foster.
I was like, that's perfect. They've got both of them. But we'll talk about him later.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I love when asking about me. He also says I'm not exciting anymore. And I love when Lucy's like, you are to me.
Yeah. Very sweet.
Yeah. Such a supporting wife.
After she told him to shoot himself. But anyway. So then she gets an idea of wanting to be his publicity agent, or maybe not necessarily have the official title, but just help him get in paper.
Wants to get a quick publicity. $50.
A quick $50. Yeah. And so, you know, he's like, no, just don't even.
You can see him when he realizes like this is what she wants. He's like, no. And then again, you're as I'm thinking about it, yeah, this is definitely cringe. Because then he's like, you know what? Just say you don't know me. If you want to help me, just pretend you don't know. And I was like, that's your wife. You married her. I don't.
But then again, when they go to Hollywood and she does actually become his agent for a day, he probably had a point, but we'll get to that at some point, eventually.
20 years. And the next scene opens with Lucy looking through her jewelry, correct?
Right. Yeah. So she's trying to price it.
And Ethel comes in and she's like, what's going on? I'm trying to get Ricky's name in the paper, give him some publicity. So I'm seeing how much jewelry how much money, you know, is in my jewelry so that hopefully he can get his name in the paper. She says, you know how those Hollywood stars get their name in the paper when their jewels are stolen. The idea was
so that... was this episode. Go on.
I'm just fitting in. Yeah. The idea is that it would say Ricky's wife had
her jewelry stolen,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Lucille Ball actually had her gem stolen.
Yes. And was all over the paper.
And it was, the headline was $41,000 of gems stolen from Lucille Ball's suite in Ambassador. Okay. It says, so Desi Arnaz is in the first line though. It says Desi Arnaz, orchestra leader, reported to police yesterday that six pieces of jewelry, only six, valued at $41,000, owned by his actress wife, Lucille Ball, has been stolen from their fourth floor suite at the Ambassador East Hotel. It was the second jewel thief from the hotel guest there in a little more than a month. Oh, she said that they believe the thief happened. Ooh, Mrs. Ball said that the thief apparently took place Thursday. She didn't notice it until later. But I just find it funny, not funny that she got stolen from, but that the headline was Lucille Ball suite instead of
Mr. Desi Arnaz. Mrs. Desi Arnaz.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't have his name in the heading at all.
Right.
But so that amount of money now would be $44,730. I don't even have $43 in inflation's worth of jewelry. So $43 inflated now is $469. And I do not have that in jewelry. And before that's... anyone asks me, like, yes, I'm married, we bought our own wedding rings because we want to make ours someday. So we thought, why are we going to, we're just going to make our own. So we didn't spend a whole lot of money on our wedding rings.
Well, it's a sentimental value. And I don't
wear jewelry, so.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, but anyways, when Lucy says she has $43, I was like, that's more than me.
Yeah.
And that would be a loss to me if I lost, but anyway.
In the paper it goes.
Let me write the papers. Mm-hmm. She decides that's not enough. So that's when Ethel suggests Miss America. Having like
loyalty. Well, yeah.
She suggests Miss America first.
Can he be crowned something? Can they title him something? Again, this is very reminiscent of that Hollywood one where, you know, they have him opening car washes, they have them opening up freeways, you know, cutting ribbons at grocery stores. So she goes to want to get a bigger and better movie deal for him. And that's what's kind of happening here. So Ethel suggests, you know, what about having him crown Miss America, of course, and or having someone of, you know, royal prestige be crazy about him. And
that's where we do the Betty Goodman, right?
Oh, yes. The Betty Goodman records. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
My aunt was queen for a day.
Yeah. Have you looked up that?
The Queen for a Day?
Game show?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh. So it was a very popular game show in the 50s and 60s. It aired 5 days a week.
Oh.
The premise was that the women were competing for a prize, right? By disclosing their hardships for an audience vote. How is that the premise of your game show? Let's get all these women on and let's hear about how hard their lives are, the worst part of their lives, and then we'll vote on whose is the worst.
Oh, and what's the
and then whoever wins, you get like a prize and Queen for the Day. It started as a radio program in 1945 and then moved to television in 1947 and stayed until 1964.
Yeah,
I mean, that's it's just a weird show.
Yeah. That almost sounds like that one where they're doing the Hawaiian vacation. And so they're trying to find the most depressing, sad story to win. But if you're competing as to whose is worse, that's a little weird.
Yeah, isn't it ever so weird? Mm-hmm. But they decide that they don't know anyone. Right. So they're going to make someone up.
From Franistan. Now, what's funny is when I was doing insignificant.
Did you look research up Franistan?
I sure did. And what's funny, well, knowing that it was a Lucy made up name, but what's funny is there's a website that does actually have.
Really?
It's clearly a fake based on this episode. But it's really good because it's got like, yeah, I'll show you. I don't know if you could see. It's got like, it's got its own flag. The Republic of Franistan is a nation led by Supreme Leader Julius Caesar. On the continent of Europe, the Republic of Franistan's government is a democracy with very liberal social policies. Economically, the Republic of Franistan favors extremely left-wing policies. The official currency of the Republic of Franistan is the Australian dollar. At 424 days old, the Republic of Franistan is an ancient nation. What? And the faith, it says, the citizens' faith in the government is completely depleted with an approval rating of 0%. And it shows the official bird of, or the official national animal is the, I'll spell it out, A-X-O-L-O-T-I. And it looks like a little,
Those are so cute. I think they're so okay. cute.
Yeah.
I like that the war policy is pirate.
So yeah, so
oh my gosh, did you see tanks lost 10,240? Sorry, it's just
wow. Yeah, so clearly someone has a cheeky attitude.
You will try to post. We'll post this maybe on
on our Instagram. But it is funny because anything attributed to the word Franistan is based on this this episode because of course it's made up. So they want to have someone of royal, you know. A royal come and be so crazy about Ricky that she can't, that she, you know, travels halfway around the world to come hear him play. They take the added step of booking a room at the Waldorf Astoria. This name is going to forever haunt me because we did this last time, which is located at the 301 Park Avenue. And that's, you know, where rich dignitaries and foreign leaders come to stay. From its opening in 1931, the Waldorf Astoria was famous for lavish dinner parties, galas featuring the rich and famous. After World War II, it played a significant role in world politics. And it has come up a couple of times on I Love Lucy with Cynthia Crawford. Is it Crawford? Hardcore. And a couple of other times. But yeah, that's where they're booking the place for. Now they're trying to figure out what the daughter of a Maharani would be. And they're trying to figure out if it would be a no, that would be the Maharans' wife. And so,
so it's Maharansis.
Yeah, they just added the rinses at the end.
Princess, like princess.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so now they have, you know, she picks up the phone and she starts doing this accent that I can only think today would be very highly protested on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely super stereotypical.
Yeah. She holds her nose or her fingers to her nose and does this kind of, you know, nasally what I assume they think Indian or Asian, you know, Middle Eastern people sound like. And then, of course, she drops it immediately when they can't figure out that she's saying Ricky Ricardo.
Ricardo. And she goes, she's like, Ricky Ricardo.
R-I-C-K.
And then
she starts spelling it.
And then goes right back. Yes. Ricky Ricardo. Right. So they send out all this information in the scene in the press, and she's going to someone else's, you know, calling another press agent. And we get to Ricky, who is, again, visibly upset. I don't know if he looks busy slash upset, but he is upset because he thinks that this is a fake story. Mm-hmm. We find that out when Fred comes in. He's like, did you see the papers? You know, he thinks it's so cool. And Ricky's like, you know, this is definitely a made up story. Person from, and he can't even remember the name. What's he calls it called?
Crapistan.
Crapistan.
He doesn't believe that this is happening, that nobody.
He's like, only an idiot would, you know, believe this.
He's telling this to Fred.
Yeah. And then he gets a phone call and he starts, you know, kind of bawling out his agent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like, how, you know, I told you to get my name, but not this way. And the agent, you know, you can't hear it, but you can surmise that they're like, we didn't do that. You know, that wasn't us. So they had to, or as he's listening and, you know, he's like, okay, did you call the Waldorf and make sure? And yes, we did that. And he hangs
suddenly
up.
Suddenly his whole body just changes.
Yeah, how about that? And then he's got this whole other story about this poor princess in her castle, you know, and he remembers it's Franistan now. He knows the exact place. So it wasn't Crapistan. It was,
so she gets a hold of one of my records. She falls madly in love with my voice and she travels halfway around the world. It sounds plausible. Doesn't sound ridiculous to me.
I love how Fred's like, should I leave and come back in? Like,
yeah, and tell you the story again.
So then Ricky, and I love this part though. I love when Ricky's like, okay, how should I greet him or her? Mm-hmm. And he does the bow and Fred pulls out his feminine voice. I just love that voice.
Yeah, he always does that.
So then it again cuts
to the very next, I'm assuming the next day or later that night.
When they have it all set up. Where do they get a big throne?
Now, I have many questions about the scene. I mean, the throne is probably one of them. Now, he's all dressed up. He's, you know, dressed up to the nines. Fred comes in and says that they can't get a hold of Lucy and Ethel because they're all shopping or something. Now, here's my thing. It's not just another performance. You have literal, you know, royalty coming to your home. No heads up to Lucy. There's no, like, you know, someone go pick her up. I mean, there's no effort to try and get her wife there to watch this massive.
Yeah, there is too.
A call.
Yeah,
phone call.
It sounds like they've tried many times though, because he's like, you know, I called them again. Didn't he say like call them again? Like maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Okay, that's one of the things. So he's nervous. You know, they're asking him if you know, he's nervous. It's like a reporter. If he's nervous about having them come by, and he says, "No, I'm not nervous at all." And
he's smoking to light cigarettes
and he starts, you know, two or three of them in his mouth. And so suddenly, you know, they have word that they're coming in. Ethel is probably like, what is her title? The lady in waiting or something.
Lady in waiting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. I just for a celebrity, like a normal singer of like a B-list, C-list, whatever. They have a whole entourage. They have more than one person. You're going to tell me that no one is picking up, that it's just one service. Lady coming in, right?
No guards, no guards, nothing.
No announcement, right? I mean,
gong.
Well, yeah, right. And so they announce it, and the way she walks in.
I love her walk. It's like this glide thing, but it's not super fluid.
If I could recreate that, that'd be hilarious, because it's like, please, her
try. It'll be the new TikTok trend.
And then it's so funny. It's like her whole body first and then the rest of her. It's like the charm school walk that they do.
Yes.
And so she's, you know, she comes in. Here's the other problem I have. I know you need to suspend all the things.
Believe
you're going to tell me that he can't recognize pre listening to the songs that's his wife. There's no cover.
That happens so many times.
There's no cover.
Like when
on
they
her
pretend
face.
To be men, right? They pretend to be men to get the scoop about the
baby, like, moon,
the baby, the moon, the shower, yeah, or whatever. Yeah, like you're telling me that you can't tell that that's, well, they did, but like there's a lot of those where you're like, okay, they can obviously, yeah, if they looked for 2 seconds. If, yeah, Fred could recognize his wife in the back of a horse, then you can't be able to recognize his wife anywhere, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, apparently he doesn't.
Okay, so no one recognizes anybody. And she's dressed up kind of like this I Dream of Jeannie sort of, you know, Princess Jasmine ensemble happening.
Yes.
Stereotypical, I suppose, for what they assume is a Middle Eastern princess. And, you know, Ethel's there. She's got her half her face covered. And the reporter wants to start asking her questions about the political state in France.
I was like, what political state? You act like you know what you're talking about. And then also when he asks her all of those questions super quickly, and then she's just like, yes, no, yes, 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 no, and yes.
And yes. Suddenly she has an American accent again. And so the Maharinsis, that's who she plays. is being interviewed by this reporter, and it's played by Peter Leeds. He's born in New Jersey and starred with Lucy in the films The Long, Long Trailer and The Facts of Life with Bob Hope. He also later appeared in Lucy and Bob Hope, as well as an episode of Here's Lucy in 1971. And his photographer is who we already did a profile on, is Bennett Green, Desi's stand-in. You may want to listen to one of our past episodes, which we talk about Bennett Green, Desi's stand-in, and Hazel Pierce, Lucy's stand-in. So then he starts to sing. Oh my God. Again, the turns that this episode is taking is hilarious.
Well, first of all, I love how they're bowing. Yeah. And like and then finally she's like, okay.
Just keep going. Like bow after bow after bow.
So yeah, he starts singing. He sings
I get ideas.
And she keeps
fainting
while he's singing.
These lyrics. Okay, it says, when we're dancing and you're dangerously near me, I get ideas. I want to hold you.
I actually recorded this.
You sang it?
I recorded the first part of it, yeah.
Ooh, you want to do that live here? Ooh. And now Ziva.
Do you want me to?
Yeah. I'll read them while you get prepared. When we're dancing and you're dangerously near me, I get ideas. I want to hold you so much closer than I dare to. And when you touch me and there's fire in every finger, I get ideas. And after we've kissed goodnight and still you linger, I kind of think you get ideas too. Sir. That's why she flew across the world to come see Ricky Ricardo. And Ziva will now grace us with her singing.
When you're dancing and you're dangerously near me, I get ideas. I want to hold you so much closer than I dare to. I want to scold you because I care more than I care to. And when you touch me, there's a fire in every finger. I get ideas. And after we have kissed goodnight and still you linger, I kind of think you get ideas too.
Hey,
I actually recorded it. It was much better.
Nice. That will be on our soundtrack. I don't know if we have one, but
that'll be on our soundtrack. Maybe like the actually recorded one.
So she faints
many
and then,
times.
And then after a while, she's just like, I'm done fainting.
I love how he pauses for her to faint. There's a moment where he like pauses the band and then she doesn't faint. So he's like, oh, okay.
And of course, the first time she faints, he's like, maybe I shouldn't because, you know, it makes her faint. You sing, she swoons. Please, I like it.
When he sings Babaloo and she
right
jumps,
in her ear.
Right. I was like, she didn't even have to act that. If someone banged a conga right in your ear, she's like sitting there like holding her ear already too much
trying to smile, but yeah, that Babaloo was a little too close to her ear,
too much. The next scene, they're in their room, which I want to know how they paid for
and how they just relaxing and not concerned about being called like by their husbands.
Like, you're right, why didn't they just go straight home?
Why are they hanging out? And then, well, perhaps, who knows?
Well, they're tired.
Yeah.
That's what Lucy said, you know, because Ethel's like, we got to get home if we're going to be there in time for dinner. And Lucy's like, oh, I'm really tired.
This is one of those scenes that made me call this episode cringe, because so much of it was unnecessary. And I don't know if they would redo it. Maybe they would. If they had a second chance to redo this episode, because it is very cringe. So they're cringe. They're ready to go, and they're complaining about how many times, you know, Ricky sang 25 times and each other one was Babaloo again right in her ear.
And yeah,
you have someone knocking on the door, banging on the door, and it's a some sort of a secret police soldier guy.
Obviously Fred
again with the accent, very bizarre accent, and he, you know, was saying that these women are in danger, And he knows that she is part of the Franistan community. And, you know, she has the secret Franistan hair color, red and black hair.
Red and black, which wasn't the case. So this is another thing, and like you might notice, but that wasn't the case when they were listening to him sing, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So how does then the next people that come in know that this is a secret Franistanian hairstyle as well?
Because
like, were they listening through the door?
No, the king of Franistan obviously dispatched them over to the Waldorf because of this red and black hair, Ziva. Obviously.
Okay.
And she's like, no, I'm not a Maharensis. I'm a Hanarensis.
I'm a Hanarensis. Yeah. I love when they ask for her secrets and she's like, all right, it's one cup of rinse to a gallon
of water.
Mm-hmm. And you can see them both like,
yeah. So then he comes in, or he's, you know, freaking them out.
Yeah, we forgot to talk about the time where Fred gets stabbed.
Well, yeah, that's
with no blood, right?
I was getting to that. Yeah, there were the other soldiers come in,
right? But yeah.
Okay, listen. We have. Why don't you shoot yourself? We have random soldiers coming in and stabbing, murdering this man.
And then we've got Ricky whipping things quite
violently. And also there's a scene where you could screenshot of him going like this to Lucy with a knife in his hand. There's a very violent episode. So it was very cringe. The Hail Tiger made me uncomfortable. Everyone yelling Hail Tiger. Him, the way he yanks Ethel's hair and she says Hail Tiger. It just all.
He was definitely trying to play like the dominant role. Like you can see that. I mean, he was on stilts, which I just think is funny because you can tell. They're like platform
shoes. By the way, when he comes in, because obviously he's massive when he comes in, one of the audience members, I caught this, said, how did he get so tall? I love listening to one of the audience members just say that.
We have to try to find that and put it on there.
Like as soon as he walks in. How did he get so tall?
As soon as he turns, though, you can tell because the feet are like sticking out of the bottom of his pants and then this guy's feet as well. So, yes, that was all cringe. And then he pulls down his mask, right, and like reveals himself. And it's supposed to be all funny. This is what... Lucy actually did nothing but help him. Right?
Yeah.
Like it didn't blow up.
He didn't there was no nothing revenge needed was, to be done.
You could have literally said, hey, thank you, but please never do that again.
Yes.
Like, if that's what you wanted.
Yeah, you're right. This time, nothing bad came of her scheme, is what you're saying.
And to have such a, like you were saying, like such a drastic, violent
revenge
tactic. Yeah,
it was unnecessary.
It's unnecessary. And the whole thing was cringe. Where's that one? The one where they pretend to shoot each other.
The French? Yes.
And Lucy,
Jean Valjean
like,
Raymond?
Jean Valjean. Anyways, Lucy wakes up and like dumps a pitcher on him.
Yeah.
She needs to dump like 12 on him.
This is
because that wasn't funny. It's not funny.
He gathered all his friends to scare the daylights out of her. But all she did was try and help him get publicity
and nothing.
It did not get any. It did not blow up in his face. If you would have ended it there, there would have been a story in the paper and you move on. But he felt a need to scare the daylights out of her. And that was really, really that. You know, you just made me think of something. There's a therapy session here somewhere that the psychology that goes into. That's your visceral reaction. To want to get revenge on your wife trying to help you, even if
violent revenge,
even if the helping is silly, it's not.
Yeah,
it's you know, it's like nice try, but please don't do that again because we don't know how it's going to the outcome, or someone might find out and it'll be worse because now I look like a fake or a phony.
Right,
just don't do that. But
he could say you don't get the $50. That could be her punishment or whatever, you know, like that's the revenge. Like,
but you got Fred over there dying, being stabbed, and you got the other guy, then you got him pulling Ethel's hair. It was just the whole thing. It was just so cringe.
Yeah, I think that what bothered me, because I don't know, for me, the stabbing looked fake. I was like, eh. But the way that they handled, like, Ethel, right, and the way they got all up in Lucy's face and the whip, I was like, that's too much. Like,
yeah, this is a
but that took it really far.
4 out of 10 for me. I'm not a fan.
I can't believe I said that this was one of my favorite. I retract that and say that what I really, the part that I like is when she's pretending to be the Maharajah.
Yeah, just the little,
I do like that part.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
And this, so this character, she's actually going to revisit it in 1968, season 1, episode 6 of Here's Lucy. She plays Lucy's Impossible Mission, and she plays a fake Middle Eastern Maharani.
Okay.
In an order to get secret information from someone. So she's like a spy, but it's very similar. I mean, even down to like the look she's wearing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll put, but she's got like the dark hair again, just everything. So we'll, except she brings Kim and Carter into it. So
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. But that one was better, but also still pretty cringe.
Yeah. But hey, we got a nice little song from Ziva. So that's
yeah,
good.
There you
that's
go. Good. We like that. Can you like cut that out and put in my
absolutely? Yeah, that'll be on our Instagram. Just the singing. Yeah. But yeah, so let us know what you guys think of these. I mean, not every episode's gonna be a hit or that was great or a very memorable one, or like Ziva said, just a little snippet of it that stays in your mind, but the rest of it's like, who wrote this and why would you? And it took so many turns so quickly.
It was definitely all over the place. That's for sure. It was one of those ones where, I mean, it was linear, but it was so quick and like still, you know.
Unnecessary.
Yeah.
So unnecessary. But yeah, so let us know what you guys think. And
let us know if you played Twiddlywinks or if you played
Pogs.
Pogs.
Are you?
And yes. Mm-hmm. Let me know if you've heard of Crazy Bones.
Yeah, that too.
It's all not at all similar to Twiddlywinks, but that was a big, you collected them and they're like these little figures and they're obsessed. And then what? It was Crazy Bands next. And then every generation has something that's like, I don't think Twiddlywinks was that for them, but
interesting.
Getting off track. Anyways.
Or Solitaire, hence the name Solitaire.
That was pretty snarky.
Yeah, it was a lot of it. This episode needed to not be included. It'd be fine if it wasn't included, but
so it would be like 3 minutes then.
Yeah, so let us know what you guys think and find us everywhere. We are on Having a Ball Pod everywhere or Having a Ball Pog. Sorry. And email us. We do get nice emails, which I love.
We do.
Havingaballpod@gmail.com. And we will soon be doing more of those mystery, you know, deaths of Hollywood and things like that. So if you have any ideas, let us know. What's so funny?
You could have just said like the mysteries, but then you're like mysteries, deaths of Hollywood. It's just like, well, yes, it is the death. We are doing some murder, but still, it just
this is a very dark episode. So I was just going along with the theme of death. Yeah,
you know,
let's just get a gun.
Fair enough.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye.